Morning, everyone. Today's Bava is Bava Kama Daf Pei Daled. We're holding at the top of Pei Daled Amun Aleph, six lines down from the top. The two dots, Tanya Idach. The Gemara today on Amun Aleph is just going to continue the discussion of how we know that Ayin Tachas Ayin does not mean Mamish. It does not mean that you literally have to take out somebody's eye, but it means Mamon, that you have to require payment. The Gemara is going to have many sources for that, some more problematic, some less problematic. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to continue with the discussion of what type of cases we can adjudicate in Bavel, where we do not have the real smicha, and what type of cases we cannot. So let's pick up Tanya Idach. Tanya Idach, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamon. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Darshans, Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamon, as we've seen so far. So ask the Gemara, Ata Omer Mamon, Oina El Ayin Mamish. You think it means mamon, or maybe it means mamish, that you have to literally take a person's eye. So it says the Gemara, that can't be. Why? Because Haresha Hayasuma Vesima Kitea Vikitea Chiger Vichiger Heyachani Mekayim Bazeh Ayin Tachas Ayin. If you think that Ayin Tachas Ayin means mamish, that you have to literally take out the person's eye or limb, what happens if you have a person who's blind and he injures somebody else and causes him to be blind? Or you have somebody who is missing a hand, and he takes off somebody else's hand, or you have somebody who's lame, and he causes somebody else to be lame, to be a cripple. So how could I say that in that case it's going to be Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish? What he did to his friend, and what you should have to therefore do to him, has already been done to him. He's already suffering from this problem. He's already suffering from blindness. He's already missing this limb. So Ayin Tachas Ayin can't mean Mamish in such a case. And the Torah tells us that we have to have an equal judgment, the same judgment for everybody. So if such a person who's already injured in the way that he injured his friend, in such a case, we would not be able to do Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish. So it must mean that in no cases would we do Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish. It always means Mamon. So then ask the Gemara, that's not a good limud. Amri umay kushya, dilma hecha de efshar efshar, hecha de lo efshar, upatrinun lay. Why are you so concerned about doing mishpat echad yeh lekulchem? And assuming that if a person is already blind, for example, we wouldn't be able to do Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish because we can't blind him once he's already blind. Maybe when the Torah says you have to do Ayin Tachas Ayin, it really means Mamish. And it only means in a case where you can do Mamish, you do Mamish. In a case where the person is not yet blind, you could actually blind him as a penalty for, or you know, as punishment for blinding the other person. But if he's already blind, then we'll just exempt him and we wouldn't punish him at all. Because if you don't assume like that, if you don't assume that we could just potter a person in a case in which we can't fulfill the din that the Torah requires, how are you going to explain the case of a treifa, a person who's considered omed lamo, is the person who's destined to die and is considered as being already dead now? If he kills a full healthy person, what are you going to say about such a case? In such a case, he should be required to die. But he's already considered a treifa. He's already considered dead. So we wouldn't punish him. We wouldn't kill him. What we see clearly from the example of treifa, shaharagas hashalim, is when you can put the person to death, like he's not a treifa, you would. But if you can't put the person to death because he's already considered dead, you don't have to do anything. So you could say the same thing by Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish. Really, it could be Mamish, where you can fulfill that punishment, do it, and where you cannot, do not.
Why with a treifa, do you not put him to death? Why didn't you at least say that you can punish him and lamed chayesha?
Why don't say again? Why don't you?
Why don't you put a treifa person to death? Give him misa, eliminate at least chayesha.
So know, I'm not positive what the din is. It could be that we actually do put him to death. I think we don't. The reason is because even if you put him to death, it's not considered as if you killed him. He's already considered dead now. So even though he's walking, he's alive. He's treated as dead. So even if you say that you put him to death, that's not a fulfillment of putting the person to death because they're already considered dead, right? We find the same things by animals. By animals, we don't consider it, let's say, killing the animal, and we don't consider it, let's say, a short niskal, something like that.
The treifa is not, that kills someone isn't put to death?
I don't think so, because I think he's already considered dead. It could be that we do put him to death, but even if we put it to death, that's not considered killing it, because it's already considered dead, that's for sure.
All right, so it's not considered killing it.
So it's not considered killing it. But the Gemara says here, patrininle.
If he's Mechal Shabbos with Adim, you're not going to put him to death?
I mean, Mechal Shabbos with Adim, but he's already a treifa, so I think he's already considered dead. So there's no such thing as putting a dead person to death. That seems to be what the Gemara assumes throughout. I think Gemara has the same
discussion.
What's
the source of this? The Gemara doesn't give us a source.
That treifa is
dead. That treifa is putter.
The Gemara says here that it's pater, but it doesn't tell us why, what the makar is for that. I think it's assumed consistently throughout halacha that a treifa is considered to be dead, both by humans and by animals. For example, Rashi and Kiddushin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, I believe, when he speaks about Tzipori Mitzora, so Rashi tells us, the Gemara really tells us, that a treifa cannot be used for the Tzipori Mitzora. And Rashi comments there, why not? Because it says, Shtei Tziporim Chayos Tehoros. So Chayos means they're living.
That's a ritual issue,
but yeah. What's the problem of a treifa if the bird is considered alive? So you're saying maybe the treifa is a blemish, but it's really considered alive. But Rashi's drasha is chayos.
Well, it's not a korban, so I'm not too concerned about
that. So then that which is a ritual issue shouldn't matter so much.
So
it's interesting. But I think that seems to be a consistent assumption throughout, that a treifa is considered dead. So Gemara says here, we would be poter him. Why would we be poter him? Elamah, you can't really put him to death because he's already considered dead. And even if you do put him to death, that's still not considered putting him to death. Mamish. So that's the first lima that the Gemara has here. For ayin tachas ayin, momo not mamish. Now continues the Gemara. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Amar Kra, Keini Natein Bo, Bein Tina Ela Mamo. Debei Rabbi Shmuel learns that we know ayin tachas ayin means momo and not mamish, because the Torah says that if a person injures his friend, you have to put that same blemish, Keini Natein Bo, you have to do the same thing to the injurer. And we know Natina only means mamon, it doesn't mean mamish. So that's how we would know that ayin tachas ayin means mamon. So ask the Gemara, Ela Me'ata, Kasher Yitein Mum Ba'adam, Hachinami de mamonhu. If you're understanding kein yinatein bo to mean the person has to pay mamon, or the person has to pay mamon, and you don't have to injure him, then you should also darshan the word yitein in a similar fashion. But over there, the Torah is describing that a person injures another person; he causes a wound to the person. So how could you explain that that means mamon? Obviously, what the Torah is describing is that the injurer is injuring the injured party. So answers the Gemara, Amri, Debeir Bishmal Krayeter Darsh. You know, you're right. Really, Yitain or Yinatain should not mean Mamon. But Rabbi Shmuel is understanding that it means Mamon in the case of Kain Yinatain Bo, that a person has to pay Mamon and does not have to literally lose their limb because there's an extra pasuk. How is there an extra pasuk? Says the Gemara, Michti. Let's see. Ksiv Ishki Yitain Mumba Amito Kaasher Asa Kain Yaselo. We already have a pasuk which tells us that when a person injures his friend, you should do to him like he did to his friend. And then the Torah says after that, Kein Yinatein Bo, so Lamali, why do I need that extra pasuk of Kein Yinatein Bo? You already told me that I have to do to the person exactly what he did to his friend. Shma Mina, Mamon. And that's how Rabbi Shmuel knows, because we have this extra pasuk, Kein Yinatein Bo, you see from there that it means Mamon. So then ask the Gemara, well, if Kein Yinatein Bo means Mamon, Kasher Yitein Mum Ba Adam Lamali, if Kein Yinatein Bo means Mamon, why do I need the verse of Kasher Yitein Mum Ba Adam? The answer is the Gemara, Aidi deboi michtav, kein yinatein bo, katav nami kaasher yitein mum ba'adam. Since the Torah was going to go on to say, kein yinatein bo, that you have to do the same to the person, which means mamon, the Torah also introduced it with the blessing, with the lashon of kaasher yitein mum ba'adam. That's why the Torah specifically used the lashon yitein. That's the second lima that we have, for ayin tach ayin mamon. Debei Rabbi Chiya Tana, Amar Kra, yad biyad, davar hanitein miyad liyad. Debei Rabbi Chiya darshins that the pasuk says you have to tain yad biyad, you have to give, you know, hand for a hand, and that means something which is given from one person's hand to another person's hand. Umaynihu mamon, and that means mamon. Mamon is something which is transferred from hand to hand. So ask the Gemara, Ela Me'ata regel beregel nami hachihu. If you're understanding yad biyad to mean something which is transferred from hand to hand, are you also going to understand that when the Torah says regel beregel, that also means mamon? That doesn't make any sense. How mamon is transferred from hand to hand, I understand. That's how people make transactions. But from foot to foot or from leg to leg, that drasha wouldn't make any sense. So answers the Gemara, Amri, Debei Rabbi Chiya Krayoter Kadarshi. You misunderstood. Yad biyad shouldn't necessarily mean, literally, mamon. But Rabbi Chiya is understanding it to mean mamon based on an extra pasuk. What's the extra pasuk? The Torah says, the Gemara says, Michti. Ksiv asisem lo kasher zamam lasos lachiv. We have a pasuk by Adam Zomim, which says that just like the person was conspiring to do to this aid, to the aid, right? When Edom Zomim come and they testify about another aid, you know, Imanu Hayisem, the punishment for the aid Zomimim, once they're found to be Zomimim, is you have to do whatever they were conspiring to do to the aid. So Esau Kadaitach Mamish, Yad Biyad Lamli. So Shma Mina Mamon. If you think Vasi Simlo literally means that you have to do to the Edom Zomimim whatever they were conspiring to do, then, and yad biyad means, and that's mamish, that ayin tachas ayin is really mamish, you would do exactly what they meant. Why would you need the verse of yad biyad? So, shma mina mamon, from the fact that the Torah tells us yad biyad, even though I already have a pasuk which tells me by Edom Zomimim that you have to do to the Edom Zomimim exactly what the case involved, I see clearly that yad biyad means mamon, and yad biyad does not mean mamish. So then ask the Gemara, well, regal beregal b'amali, why do I need the verse of regal beregal if I already have the verse of yad biyad? So says the Gemara, yeah, you don't, it's really just for parallel structure. I did chtiv yad biyad, ksiv nami regal beregal. Because the Torah tells us yad biyad, then the Torah also goes on to tell us regal beregal. Okay, so that's our third limud for ayin tachas ayin, mamon. Abaye omer atya midatanet bechizkia. Abaye says that which ayin tachas ayin means mamon and not mamish comes from the drasha of tanet bechizkia. The tanet bechizkia ayin tachas ayin nefesh tachas nefesh velo nefesh ve'ayin tachas ayin. The Torah tells us that we have to take an eye for an eye or we have to take a soul for a soul, but it's clear that we cannot take a soul and an eye in place of just an eye. So it's supposed to be tit for tat, you know, quid pro quo, one for one, the eye for the eye, or the soul for the soul, but not both the soul and the eye in place of the eye. Ve'isal kadai tach mamish, zimnin de mishkachas la ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin, de'behari de'avir la nafkalei nishmasei. If you think that ayin tachas ayin means mamish, there might be times where you violate this drasha of Tana Ve'chizkia, where you accidentally or actually take the eye and the soul in place of the person's eye. And what's the case? The case would be that while you're trying to blind the person, ayin tachas ayin mamish, while you're trying to blind him as payment for blinding another person's eye, you might accidentally kill him. And that would be a violation of ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. You would have just taken his eye and his nefesh in place of the eye. So that would violate the drasha of Tana Dechizkiah, and therefore I know that ayin tachas ayin must mean mamon and not mamish. So ask the Gemara, umay kushya, dilma meimar amdinan le, imatzi makabel avdinan, milo matzi makabel lo avdinan. Why is it such a kasha? Maybe I should just say that what we do is we always assess the person's health and we see if he can tolerate the punishment that we want to give him. So if a person blinds and we need to blind him, I should assess that if he can be blinded and not die, so then I should blind him. But if he cannot be blinded without dying, in which case I will be taking ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin, then I won't do it. Lost my spot here. V'yamdinan demasi makabel v'avdinan bei v'nafak ruche imayis lemos. And additionally, if I do assess that he's able to receive this punishment, this damage, without dying, and then it happens to be that I kill him on accident, that shouldn't be such a problem. Milo tnat angabi malkus amdu meis tachas yado pater. If I accidentally kill him while I'm trying to take out his eye, that shouldn't be a problem. Why not? Because we have a Mishnah, we have a principle when it comes to malkus, that if we assess that a person can tolerate the malkus without dying, and we go ahead and whip him, we give him malkus, and then he dies, that you'd be pater from doing that. You wouldn't be obligated to go to gullus for killing b'shogeg. You wouldn't be obligated anything if you accidentally kill a person through malkus, if you properly assess that he can handle the whips. So this is not necessarily such a good source that ayin tachas ayin means mamon and not mamish, because we don't want to violate the drasha of Tana Dechizkia, ayin tachas ayin below ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. We don't need to be so concerned about accidentally taking a person's eye and his soul, because we'll just assess whether he can tolerate it, and if we assess that he can tolerate it and not die, and then it happens to be we accidentally kill him, that's not such a problem. So the Gemara doesn't love this drasha. Easy for him to say, right? Not so easy, but good. So that our fourth limud for ayin tachas ayin mama. Rizvid mishmei derava amar kra petza tachas petza litein tsar b'makom nezek. So Rizvid, in the name of Rava, says another source that we have is the Torah tells us that you have to take payment a wound for a wound, and we darshan from there that tells us that you have to pay tsar b'makom nezek, that you have to pay for the pain that you caused the person. In a case where they were damaged and you're also paying for the damage, you're paying for the loss in value that your injury, that your attack, whatever it is, caused him. But you also have to pay for the tsar. V'isal kadai tach mamish, if you think that ayin tachas ayin means you really have to pay a limb for a limb, ki heichi de lahai havi le tsara, lahai nami es le tsara. If it's true that ayin tachas ayin is mamish, well, just like a person who gets injured by somebody else has tsar, when we injure the person as payback, as payment, he's also going to have tsar. So why would the Torah require you to pay tsar when you injure a person if you're going to be injured as payment and you're also going to have tsar? So it must be that ayin tachas ayin means mamon and not mamish. So ask the Gemara, that's not a good limud. Umay kusha. Dilma ika inish de mefunak is le tsar tve. The ika inish de lo mefunak leis le tsar. I don't understand the question. Maybe you have some people who are very prone to pain, They very much can't tolerate damage, and it's very painful for them. And then you have people who don't experience pain so much. So maybe the Torah requires you to pay tsar because maybe the person you're injuring has a lot of pain. And if we injure you as payment, it's not such a big deal because you're not going to have so much pain. And the Gemara says, the nafkamina, the meisvele heach, the beinibene. The nafkamina of one person having a lot of tsar and the other person not having so much tsar would be that you should have to pay the incremental difference between your amount of pain and the person's amount of pain, right? So let's say I injure a person. And aside from all the damages I caused and everything I owe him, the payment for his pain is $100. And when they injure me as payback, ayin tachas ayin mamish, I have $50 worth of pain. So I should pay the person that I injured the difference, the $50 difference. So the Gemara says this is not such a good limud for ayin tachas ayin mamish, ayin tachas ayin mamon, because maybe some people have more tzar and some people have less, and that's why the Torah requires you to pay tzar b'makom nezek. Now our sixth limud, Rav Papa Mishmei D'Rava Amar Amarkra, Berapo Yirape, Litain Refua B'makom Nezek. The Torah says that you have to pay for the person's medical bills, and that tells us that even in a case of damage, you have to pay for Dmei Refua, for the value of the treatment that the person needs. V'yisal Kedaitach Mamish, Kihechi Dehai Bayasya, Hainami Bayasya. If you think that Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamish, that you really have to take the person's limb, well, why would the Torah require us to pay for medical bills? Just like the person you injured needs payment for medical bills, you also need payment for medical bills. Answers the Gemara, my kushya. Dilma ika de salik basara haya, but ika de lo salik basara haya. I don't understand the question. Maybe there are some people who can recover from injury very quickly, and maybe there are other people who cannot recover from injury so quickly. So maybe, and let's just say the Gemara again says, lamai nafkamina, lamaitav leheach de bene bene. And the nafkamina between somebody who gets it, who recovers quickly and somebody who does not, would be that you have to pay the difference in the value of their medical bills based on how long they need treatment for and how quickly they can recover. So this, again, is not such a good source that ayin tachas ayin means mamon and not mamish, because maybe the Torah required me to pay for a person's medical bills in a case where they take longer to recover than I would take to recover when I get injured as payment. And the Torah just wants to pay for the incremental difference, but really ayin tachas ayin could be mamish. So again, the Gemara does not like this limud. Now I think the seventh limud, Rav Ashi Yomar, Asya tachas tachas mishor. The way we know that ayin tachas ayin means mamon is based on gzeir shava from shor. Because ksiv hacha ayin tachas ayin, the Torah tells us that when a person injures another person, you have to take an eye for an eye. Ksiv hatam shalem yishalem shor tachas hashor. And the Torah tells us that when it comes to the damage that caused by an ox, you have to pay for an ox, tachas an ox. So ma lahalan mamon, afkan mamon. Just like in the context of the oxen, we know that it means mamon. So too, by ayin tachas ayin, when a person injures his friend, we also know that it means mamon, and it does not mean mamish. So ask the Gemara, my chazeti alafta tachas tachas mishor. Why are you learning this gzera shava, tachas tachas mishor, to tell us that just like a shor, when dealing with the case of a shor, you have to pay mamon, by ayin tachas ayin, you also have to pay mamon. Neilif tachas tachas mi adam, dechtiv inatata nefesh tachas nafesh, malahalan mamish, afkan mamish. Why don't we instead learn a different gzera shava of tachas tachas, not from oxen, but from a person, that just like when a person kills another person, you have to put him to death, you have to take a life for a life, so too, by ayin tachas ayin, it really means mamish, and you have to take an eye for an eye, a limb for a limb. So answers the Gemara, the reason I made the gzera shava tachas tachas from shor and not tachas tachas from Adam is amri danin nizakin min nizakin bein danin nizakin min misa. It makes more sense to learn from the case of the oxen to hachovo b'chavera, because hachovo b'chavera is a case of damage and the oxen case is also a case of damage. But I'm not going to learn from hachovo b'chavera, I'm not going to learn to hachovo b'chavera from the case of nefesh tachas nefesh, because that's dealing with a case of death, not with a case of damage. So it makes more sense for parallel structure to learn a case of damage from a case of damage and not a case of damage from a case of death. So ask the Gemara, Adarabba, done in Adam Adam, bein done in Adam Behema. We should really learn the gzera shava tachas tachas from Adam, because hachovo b'chavero is dealing with people and nefesh tachas nefesh is dealing with people. But don't bring me the case of shor, the case of oxen, because that's not dealing with a person, that's dealing with an animal. So it doesn't make sense that you're learning the gzera shava tachas tachas from shor. We should really be learning it from tachas tachas from Adam. And that would tell us that ayin tachas ayin really is mamish. So Ella Amar Vashi mitachas asher ina yalifle Adam me Adam v'nizikin minizikin. Says Rav Ashi, really we're not going to learn the gzera shava from tachas tachas from shor. But we're also not going to learn in Tachas Tachas from Adam by Nefesh, Tachas Nafesh, to tell us that it means Mamish. Instead, we're going to learn from the case of a woman who is, God forbid, raped, where the Torah uses the Lashon Tachas, and over there we know that it just means Mammon, it doesn't mean Mamish. So that's going to be the best drasha for us because it covers both of the bases. It makes it Adam me Adam. It's a drasha from Hakova Bachavera, which is dealing with Adam, and also Tachas Asher Ina, this case of rape, which is also dealing with people, and both cases are dealing with damage. So that's now the preferred limud. The case of Shor is not the preferred limud because it's dealing with Behemoth and we're dealing with Adam, and the case of Nefesh, Tachas Nefesh, is not the preferred limud because it's dealing with Misa and we're dealing with Nizik. But Tachas Asher Ina is the perfect limud, and that tells us that Ayin Tachas Ayin really is Mamon and not Mamish. Tanya, I think now our eighth limud here on this amud, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish. Rabbi Lezer says Ayin Tachas Ayin actually means Mamish. So whoa, a giant curveball. Until now we've had so many drashas saying that Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamon, and now Rabbi Lezer comes out of nowhere and says Ayin Tachas Mamish. Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamish. So ask the Gemara, Mamish Salkadaitach? Rabbi Lezer Leislei Kechol Hani Tanai. Does Rabbi Lezer really think that Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamish? He doesn't hold of all of these previous Tanayim, all of these previous drushas that we've had to show you that Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamon? So Amar Rabbi, I have a gear to change to Amar Rava, Lomar Shein Shamin Oto Ke'evet. What Rabbi Lezer says when he tells you Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamish is he means that we don't appraise the person for the loss of value like an Eved. We don't assess him based on how much he could be sold for as an Eved in the marketplace. Rather, we assess in some other way. So ask the Gemara, well, what is that other way? Amar le Abaye ela keman ki ben chorin? Ben chorin mi ist le dami? Abaye says, well, if according to Rabbi Lezer, we're not going to assess the person's value as an Eved who's being sold in the marketplace, then based on what would we assess the value? Would we assess the value based on how much he's worth as a ben chorin? Does a ben chorin have any monetary value? Obviously not. If a person is just a free man, they're not being used for money, for monetary purposes in any way. So they don't have a value based on which we could appraise them. So El Amar Ravashi, Lomar, Shein Shamin Otel Benizak, El Bemazik. When Rabbi Lezer said that Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamish, all he meant to say is that we don't assess the person's value and the damages based on the nizak, based on the person who was injured, rather we assess based on the person who caused the injury, which sort of relates to Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish. How so? Because what we're saying is we assess the value of the person who injures I, if you were to take an ayin. So in that way, there's some kiyum of Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish because you're actually assessing the value of the person who caused the damage, and therefore you're looking at his eye, so it's as if you're a little bit taking his limb. And that's why Rabbi Lezer darshan it to mean Ayin Tachas Ayin Mamish, but really he didn't mean Mamish, he really only meant that you have to pay Mamon. And the chiddush is that generally we would have assessed the value of the nizak, the person who was damaged. According to Rabbi Lezer, we're going to assess the value of the mazik, the person who caused the damage. Now the Gemara has a couple stories about injury. Hahu chamra dekata yada diyanuka. There was a donkey who cut off, who injured the hand of a child. So ata lekame der of Papa Bar Shmuel. They came in front of a Papa Bar Shmuel to figure out the din. And Amar lehu zilu shomu le'arba advarim. So Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said, go assess, go appraise the value of the four payments that this person would have to pay. So Amar le Rava b'ha'anan chamisha tnan. Rava asks, we learn in our Mishnah that you have to pay five things. So why would Rav Papa Bar Shmuel say you only have to go pay four? So Amar le levar mi nezek ha'amina. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel answered, yeah, I really meant all five. I just wasn't counting nezek because nezek's obvious. You always have to pay for damages. So the chiddush of achova b'chavero is that there are four other things that you have to pay for. And that's why I told you to go assess the value of the four things. Amar le abaye v'chamorhu v'chamor eino mashal mele nezek. Abaye says there's a major problem over here. This case is not a case of achova b'chavero. It's not a person injuring another person. It was a donkey who injured the child. And a donkey only has to pay for nezek. So Amar lehu zilu shomule nizke. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel answers, yeah, okay, you're right. You only have to pay for nezek. So go assess the value of the child, the damages that were caused to the child. Ask the Gemara, v'haka avda b'ayil m'shayim, eh? Says the Gemara, we have to evaluate the person as if he was being sold. We have to evaluate the child as if he's being sold as a slave. So Amar lehu zilu shaymu ka'avda. So Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said, yeah, go assess. Go appraise the value as if you were being sold as a slave. So Amar lehu avua diyanuka. Lo ba'ina de zila be milta. all of a sudden, the father of the child comes along and he says, I don't want you guys to assess the value of my child as if he's being sold as a slave, because that's a little bit embarrassing. It's a little bit denigrating to say, oh, we have this little boy over here and we're going to assess his value in the slave marketplace. So So the people who were there said to the father, you can't do that. You're obligating the child. You're taking away the payment which he is due to receive. So Amr Lehu, l'chigadol mefaisna le'mididi. The father says, yeah, I understand that I'm sort of penalizing my child. I know that I'm taking away the value of the damages that were caused to him. But don't worry about it, because when he gets older, I'm going to appease him from my own money. I'll take care of the damages in the future. If he's going to lose out on $100 now, it's not such a big deal. I'll make sure that he gets paid back in the future. Now we have another story. Hahu Torah the Alas Yade Dianuka. There was a shore, there was an ox, who I believe here it means to bite, who bit, chewed the hand of a child. So Ata Lakami de Rava, Amalahu, Zilu Shaimuhu Ka'afta. They came in front of Rava, and Rava said, go appraise the child's value, the value of his hand, as if you were being sold as a slave. So Amrileva Amaru the Amar Kalanisham Ka'evet in Gobano Tabababa. Talmidim asked Rava, they said, Rava, I thought you're the one who told us that when it comes to assessing a person's value as a slave, that's not something that we can collect in Bavel. So Amr Lehu, lo tzricha di tafis. Rava says, yeah, you're right, this isn't something that we can collect in Bavel. But even though we can't collect it in Bavel, we do have a halacha that di tafas lo mafkina mineh, that if the person who is due this payment went ahead and seized it, took it by force from the person who owed it to him, we wouldn't remove it from his possession. So when Rava said that you should go assess the person's value as a slave, or the value of the child's hand as a slave, what he really meant is just to assess how much the value is, so that if the child or if the child's family were to take this money from the person who caused the damage, the person whose ox it was, we would know not to take it back. And Rava Latayme, the Amar Rava, Nizke Shor B'Shor, V'Nizke Shor B'Adam, Govano Tal B'Bavel. Rava is Lishitaso, because Rava holds that the damage caused to an ox by a different ox, or the damage caused to an ox by a person, is something that we would be Gova in Bavel. But Nizke Adam B'Adam, V'Nizke Adam B'Shor, Ein Govano Tal B'Bavel. The damage caused to a person by another person, or the damage caused to a person by an ox, is not something that we would collect in Bavel. So since this case that we're dealing with, the child, his damage was caused by an ox, that's something that we're not gova in Bavel, that's not something that can be collected in Bavel, and that's why we're only going to assess the case for itafas lomafkina mineh. If the family of the child were to snatch, to seize the payment, we would not take it away from them. So ask the Gemara, maishna niske adam ba'adam and niske adam b'shor dilo. Why is it that we don't collect payment for the damages to a person caused by a person, or the damages to a person caused by an ox? Elohim ba'inan v'leka. We need a judge. Here, Elohim is not a Lashon Kedusha, it's a Lashon Chol, that we need proper judges. We need judges with proper smicha, and we don't have that in Bavel. So says the Gemara, well, niske shor b'shor, b'shor ba'adam nami Elohim ba'inan v'leka. When it comes to the damages to an ox caused by an ox, or the damages to an ox caused by a person, we also need a proper judge. We also need Elohim, and we don't have that. So why do we have the difference between what we do judge and the damages caused to an ox, and what we do not judge and the damages caused to a person? Elamayshna shor b'shor b'shor ba'adam, the shlichus ayu ka'avdinan. So why is it that we do collect payment for the damages to an ox caused by an ox, and the damages to an ox caused by a person? Because we consider it as if we're doing the shlichus of the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael. We consider it as if we're doing the service, the duty of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, who actually do have the proper smicha. Midi dahava ahudos v'halvaos. Just like we also adjudicate cases of admission, concession of hodos, and we adjudicate cases of loans here in Bavel. Rashi says the reason that we do that to some degree is shalotin odelas bifnei lavin, so that you don't close the door in front of people who are trying to get a loan. They won't be able to get a loan if we can't adjudicate the cases in Bavel. So we do the shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, and we do adjudicate those cases in Bavel. And that's why we adjudicate the damages caused to a shore. So then Adam ba'adam ba'adam ashor nami shlichus hayu ka'avdina midi dehava ahudos v'ha'alvos. We should also adjudicate the damages caused to a person in Bavel, and say that we're doing the shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, just like hodos and havos. So answers the Gemara, Amri, Kikav, Dinan Shlichusayu, B'midi de Kimlan Begave. B'midi de Lo Kimlan Begave, Lo Av Dinan Shlichusayu. Says the Gemara, we can only do the Shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael in something that we really understand properly, we know how to evaluate. But when it comes to something that we don't know how to evaluate properly, we cannot do the Shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. And we assume that we don't know how to assess the value of the damages caused to a person, whether by another person or by an ox, properly, and therefore we don't do the Shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. So ask the Gemara, Amri, Shor b'Shor b'Shor b'Adam, Nami lo Kimlan b'Gaveh. Well, that doesn't really make sense because we don't really know how to assess the damages caused to an ox, whether by an ox or by another person, and yet we seem to adjudicate those cases in Bavel. So that explanation is not going to explain the cases that we do adjudicate in Bavel and the cases that we don't. So answers the Gemara, Elapuk chazi hecha mizdavni Torah b'Shuka. What we do is, the Gemara is really continuing the question here and saying, what we do when it comes to the damages caused to an ox is that we assess how much the ox could be sold for in the marketplace. So, Adam ba'adam ba'adam b'shor na'ami puk chazi heicha mizdavna avdi b'shuka. When it comes to the damages caused to a person, whether by a person or by an ox, we should also just go out and assess how much this person could be sold for as a slave in the marketplace. So, I don't understand. Why don't we adjudicate these cases in Bavel? Ve'od, tashlum kefel, ve'tashlum arba, ve'chamisha, dikitzi, na'avich lichusayu. And also, we have another question. When it comes to the payments of kefel, of two times, and the payments of arba, ve'chamisha, the payments of four times and five times, which we just spent the entire seventh parak discussing, those are payments which are fixed. It's not something that we need to be kimlan begave. We don't need to know properly how to evaluate it because it's a fixed payment. And therefore, we should do the shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. So why is it that we don't adjudicate cases of kefel and arba chamisha in Bavel? So answers the Gemara, Amri, kika avdinan shlichusayu b'mamona b'knasa lo avdinan shlichusayu. So the Gemara answers, we only do the shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael when it comes to something which is mamon. But when it comes to something which is a penalty, which is treated differently than mamon, we would not do the shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, and that explains why we don't do kefel and arba v'chamisha, because those are cases of knas. So ask the Gemara, Adam ba'adam, and also the Bach adds in ufgam, it's going to change it from the Gemara later, but Adam ba'adam de mamonehu na'avich lichusayi. Well, the damage is caused to a person by another person, which is a case of mamon. That's treated like a normal monetary payment and not like a penalty. Na'avich lichusayi, we should do the shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. We should adjudicate such cases in Bavel. So answers the Gemara, Kika avdina shlichusayu b'milta d'shchicha. Adam ba'adam de lo shlicha, lo avdina shlichusayu. So Gemara now answers, we only do the shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael by something that's common, but something which is not common, like Adam ba'adam, the damages to a person caused by a person is not so common, and therefore we don't do the shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. So ask the Gemara, Hare Boshas Ufgam, and again the Bach takes out Ufgam here because he added it in earlier, but Hare Boshas Ufgam, the Shchiach, Na'avich Lichusayu. When it comes to the payment of embarrassment or the payment of damages caused to a woman who was raped, which is common, we should do the Shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. So answers the Gemara, Amri, Hachinami, that of Papa Agvi, Arba Me'azuzi, Leboshas. The Gemara answers, yeah, we should do the Shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel when it comes to Boshas and Ufgam. And we actually do that because Rav Papa, as we know, Rav Papa collected 400 zuz for Boshas in Bavel. So that shows you that we actually do adjudicate cases of Boshas in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel because they are common. As the Gemara b'Halesa l'dir of Papa, but we don't really paskin like Rav Papa that we can adjudicate such cases in Bavel. How do I know that? The Shalach le Rav Chista le Rav Nachman, because Rav Chista sent something to Rav Nachman about a case that he was dealing with. The Shalach le, and Rav Nachman responded to Rav Chista, 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 Knasa kamagbis b'Bavel? Rav Nachman got all upset with Rav Chista and said, Rav Chista, what are you doing? You're collecting payment for Knas in Bavel? You're not allowed to do that. And that was presumed to be a case of Boshes. So we obviously don't paskin like Rav Papa. We don't adjudicate cases of boshes, of embarrassment, which are shchiach in Bavel. So we need a different cloud to explain what we do adjudicate in Bavel and what we don't. So answers the Gemara, Elaki avdinan shlichusayu b'milta d'shchicha b'ispa chesron kis. The only time that we do the shlichus of the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael is if it's something which is common and it's something where there's a financial loss to the person who is damaged or injured. But if you have a case which is common but does not have financial loss, or you have a case which is not common, even though it does have chesar and kiyus, even though it does have financial loss, lo avdin and shlichus hayah. In such cases, we would not do the shlichus of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. So really only one klal, only if the case is both common and there's chesar and kiyus. Hilkach, and therefore the Gemara says we can explain the cases that we do adjudicate based on this klal that we just set out. Hilkach adam ba'adam, af agav de isbe chesar and kiyus, kevan de lo shlicha, lo avdin and shlichus hayah. Therefore, we don't adjudicate the cases of damage caused to a person by a person, because even though there's financial loss there, since it's uncommon, we're not going to do the shlichos of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. And boshes ava gav de shlicha came in the les becheson kis lo avdina and shlichus ayim. By boshes, when it comes to embarrassment, even though that's a common case, since there's no real financial loss, the person was only embarrassed. That's a personal thing. That's sort of a personal assault, but there's no tangible monetary loss, so we'll not do the shlichos of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. So until now, we had been assuming that we would be gove the payment of damages caused to an ox by an ox. So now the Gemara is going to question that assumption. Bishor, bishor, govin, bebavel. Do we really collect the damages caused to an ox in bavel? The Amar Rava, shor shehizik, ain govin otel bebavel. Rava told us that when an ox injures, and it's unclear what he injured, but an ox who injured, we're not going to collect that type of payment in bavel. So ask the Gemara, the azik man, what did this ox injure? Elema the azik adam, my iria shor the azik adam, afilu adam the azik adam, nami and govin. If we're dealing with an ox that injured a person, why does Rava specifically discuss an ox which injured a person? We even would not collect the payment of damages caused to a person by another person. So why do we need to talk about Shor the Azik Adam? We could even talk about Adam the Azik Adam. Elipshita the Azik Shor. Rather, it's obvious that what Rava must be talking about, in order for this to be a chiddush, Rava must be talking about an ox who injured another ox. The katani ain't govin otel b'bavel. And Rava said, we don't collect such a case in bavel. So until now, we've been assuming that shor da azik shor, an ox that injures an ox, we will collect such payment in bavel. But now Rava seems to be indicating not that way. So answers the Gemara, amri hatam b'tam hacha b'muad. Says the Gemara, Rava, when he said we don't collect the payment of damages of an ox caused to an ox by an ox, that was dealing with the short tam, when the injury was a short tam. As Rashi explains, we assume that the payment of tam, chatzi nezek, is a knas. It was a debate in the Gemara earlier on Daf Tesvav. So as we said earlier, that we're not going to adjudicate cases of knas in Bavel. So when dealing with a short tam, which injured, we're not going to collect such a case in Bavel. But when dealing with a short muad, where we assume the payment is real mammon, it's just a normal financial payment, that type of case we would adjudicate in Bavel. Ask the Gemara, Baha Marava in muad b'Bavel. Rava told us that there's no muad in Bavel, because to adjudicate the cases that would cause an animal to become considered muad is something that we're not going to do in Bavel. So how could you say that the case where we will collect payment in Bavel is if the damaging shor was a shor muad? Hare, Rava tells us that there's no such thing as a shor muad in Bavel, because we don't adjudicate the cases. Right?
You don't do tam. Right. You don't do tam, you can't get to muad.
If you don't do tam, you can't get to muad. Right, exactly. So there's no process by which you'll have a shor muad in Bavel. And therefore, how could we collect the payments of damages caused to an ox by an ox which is muad? So answers Gemara, Amri, di'ayit hasam ba'aytu alahacha. In Achanami, we can't have a shor muad in Bavel, but maybe we're dealing with a case where the shor tam became a shor muad in Eretz Yisrael, and then they brought it to Bavel. So the status of the animal is not going to change. It's still going to be treated as a shor muad, and therefore when it injures another ox, we will collect the payment in Bavel. Answers the Gemara, v'hamilta de lo shchicha hi, umilta de lo shchicha ha'amarta de lo avdina shlichus ayim. If you're making this ukimta, that the ox became a shor muad in Eretz Yisrael and they brought it to Bavel afterwards, that's something which is uncommon. And you told me that we're not going to adjudicate something which is uncommon in Bavel. We're only going to adjudicate things which are both common and have a financial loss. So answers Gemara, okay, you're right. That would be a milta de lo shchicha, that the shor became muad in Eretz Yisrael and they brought it to Bavel. So the case must be the atu rabban and the hasam biyadua hacha. The case must be that the rabbis, the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, came to Bavel and they can adjudicate cases of taking a short time into a shur muad in Bavel, because they are real dayanim. They are, as we said before, Elohim. They are proper judges. So maybe they turn the animal into a muad in Bavel, and then the shur muad injured another shur, and that's such a case that we would collect in Bavel.
So what does that mean? That the three cases of tam happened in Bavel, were adjudicated by
the dayanim
of Eretz Yisrael, and then the fourth case also by the dayanim of Eretz Yisrael?
No, it doesn't have to be. At that point, we can, the dayanim of Bavel can adjudicate it. Right, because it's not knas, mammon.
Right.
So the Gemara is assuming
they did the tam cases.
They did the tam cases in Bavel and made it a muad. And now that it's a muad, we can adjudicate that in Bavel because it's no longer a knas. So answers the Gemara gave that answer to make it a case which was common, but says the Gemara even if you want to make the sukimta that the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael came to Bavel and made the short time into a shor muad, that's also uncommon. And you just told me that we don't adjudicate cases in Bavel which are uncommon. So answers the Gemara elakika amarava b'shein v'regel dimuadin mitchilas aninu. When Rava said that we would adjudicate the damages caused to an ox by another ox, and that was dealing with the shor muad, that was talking about shein v'regel, because shein v'regel are automatically considered muad. Keren is something where the shor has to go from tam to muad, but by shein and regel, we assume the shor starts as muad automatically. So since the shor is already muad, that's how we can adjudicate the case of a shor muad in Bavel. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to move on to discuss tsar shelo b'makom nezek, how I know that you have to pay for pain caused to a person when there's no injury, when there's no direct damage caused to the person. So says the Gemara, tsar shelo b'makom nezek mishtalim. The Mishnah is clearly indicating that you have to pay tsar where there's no physical damage, and we know that because the Mishnah said even if you injure a person on their fingernail, which we assume there won't really be damage, there'll really just be pain, you would have to pay for that. So mantan, who's the author of the Mishnah who says that you have to pay for tsar shelo b'makom nezek? Amar Rava ben Azahi. Rava says the author of that Mishnah is ben Azahi. D'tanya, it's going to be somewhat of a convoluted braisa, but we have a braisa which says that Rebbe Omer kviya nemra tchila. In this pasuk of kviya tachas kviya, pesach tachas patza, chabura tachas chabura. So we have a pasuk which says you basically have to pay for injuries, you have to pay for wounds, you have to pay for damages caused to a person. So Rebbe says that in that pasuk, kviya is ne'em ratchila. That the first thing the Torah discusses is a burn. And Ben Azai Omer, chabura ne'em ratchila. Ben Azai says that the first thing the Torah discusses in that pasuk is a normal wound. So the question is, what are they arguing about? The pasuk clearly starts with kviya, tachas kviya. So what are they arguing about what came first? So answers the Gemara, or says the Gemara, explains the Gemara, v'maikam ifligi. What's this machlokas ben Azai and Rebbe? So Rebbe savar kviya delesbe chabura mashma. Rebbe thinks that when the Torah starts the pasuk with the word kviya, that means a burn which does not have physical damage, which does not have a wound associated with it. And then, kasav rachmana chabura, legaluya ala dekviya deisbe chabura in ilolo. Since kviya meant that there is no wound there, when the Torah then goes on in the pasuk to discuss a wound, that's showing you that really the burn, which was discussed at the beginning of the pasuk, really means that it has physical damage there, that there is a wound there, and if there is not, you would not have to pay. So Rebbe says you're only going to have to pay tsar b'makom nezek. You'll only have to pay for the pain caused by the burn if there's actually a wound there. But if there's no wound there, there's no nezek, you would not have to pay. Ben Azai savar kviya de ispa chavura mashma. Ben Azai thinks that when the Torah begins the pasuk with the word kviya, with the word a burn, that really means a burn which has a wound attached to it. And katav rachmana chavura legaluya ala de kviya de leispa chavura. Then the Torah goes on to mention a wound to tell you that the burn that the Torah discussed at the beginning of the pasuk is really referring to a burn without a wound. So Ben Azai would hold the maskana that the burn mentioned at the beginning of the pasuk means a burn without a wound, and that shows you that you'll have to pay for tsar b'makom nezek. You'll have to pay for the pain caused by the burn, despite the fact that there's no damage, there's no direct financial loss. So that's how we would know from this braisa that Ben Azai is the author of our Mishnah, who says you have to pay for tsar shelo b'makom nezek. You have to pay for pain in a case where there's no damage. Ask the Gemara, Maski Farah Papa, Adarabba, Ifcha Mistavra. Your explanation of this confusing braisa, this machlokas, Rebbe and Ben Azai, doesn't make sense. In fact, the opposite makes sense. Rebbe Omer kviya nem ratchila. When Rebbe says that the first thing the Torah mentions in this pasuk is a burn, savar kviya de ispa chavura mashma, he really thinks that the literal meaning of the word burn, the word kviya, means that it has a wound, and therefore katav rachmana chavura legaluya ala de kviya de leisba chavura. And therefore, the Torah goes on to mention a wound to tell you that the burn mentioned at the beginning of the pasuk means there is no wound. And that would be tsar shelo b'makom nezek. You have a burn, but you don't have a wound. And Ben Azai Omer, chavura ne'em ratchila. When Ben Azai says that a wound is mentioned first, he really thinks, savar kviya deleisba chavura mashma. He thinks that when the Torah uses the word kviya at the beginning of the pasuk, that means there is no wound. Kata brahmana chavura legaluya ala dikvia de ispa chavura in ilolo the amaskana kaimi. And when the Torah goes on to mention chavura, which is a wound, that's showing you that really the burn that the Torah mentioned at the beginning of the pasuk means that there is a burn, that there is a wound, and you would only have to pay for tsar b'makom nezek. You'd only have to pay for the value of the pain caused to a person if there's also damage, if there's also a wound. But if not, not. And when Ben Azai and Rebbe say kviya nemra tchila or chavura nemra tchila, whether the first thing the Torah mentions is a burn, or the first thing the Torah mentions is a wound, they're really going on the maskana of the pasuk. So what Rav Papa's understanding of the Braisa, the Machlokas, Rebbe, and Ben Azai, is really flipping the Shitos backwards, flipping them on their head. And that would mean that the author of our Mishnah is no longer Ben Azai, it's really Rebbe. Inami, alternatively you can say, Dekule alma kviya bein de isba chavura bein de leisba chavura mashma. Maybe everybody agrees that a kviya means whether it has a wound or not. Either way, you still have to pay for the pain caused to the person. V'hacha b'chlalu prata meruchakin ze mizeka miflegi. Rebbe savar ein danin oto b'chlalu prat. Ben Azai savar danin oto b'chlalu prat. Maybe Rebbe and Ben Azai are arguing about how to darshan a klal uprat, because the Gemara is assuming that kviya tachas kviya, when we first mention a burn, that's a klal. When we later mention chabura, that's a prat. When we later mention a wound, that's a prat. But they're separated by one phrase in the middle of them, which is petza tachas patza. They have this phrase, petza tachas patza, in the middle. So the question is whether you can darshan these two words as a klal uprat if they're separated by a clause in the middle. Rebbe would think that you cannot darshan it b'klal uprat, and that would mean that you have to pay for tzar, even shalom b'makom nezek, that kviya stands alone, you don't darshan it with chavura, and therefore you have to pay for a burn even without a wound. And Ben Azai thinks you can darshan it b'klal uprat, you can connect the two phrases, and you would pay only for kviya de ispa chavura, only for a burn which also has a wound. V'chitema chavura, the Rebbe lamali, the damim yeterim. And if you wonder why Rebbe would then need the word chavura later, if he assumes that you can't darshan it b'klal uprat, that would just be telling you that you have to pay for the extra payment. But maybe really the author is not Ben Azai, maybe really the author is Rebbe, and that's where the Gemara concludes that discussion.
Thank you very much.